You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Pat Smits and Bill Wolfson. We're here with the sports guys, and unfortunately, I can't bring you the weather. I know earlier this afternoon, up my way, there were some snow flurries. Seems like it's cold, but I haven't heard anything more about the weather. Have you, Bill?
Well, Pat, I can tell you I just experienced the weather on the way in here. It's cold, it's windy, it's going to be down into the 20s tonight, and the wind feels like it's coming out of the north at about 10 to 15 miles an hour. I hear it's going to be even breezier. Tomorrow it's going to be even colder, and we're supposed to get some rain on Sunday, so it's probably going to warm up just so it can rain. So enjoy the weather, folks.
Okay, well, before we start talking about the sports, I've got to talk about when politics and sports go together, that's a story. So for those of you who know me, you know that I'm a huge Green Bay Packer fan, and I'm going to have a question for you, Bill. But you'll recall that Governor Christie went to the Philadelphia-Dallas game and sat in Jerry Jones's box. I don't know if you were aware of that, but he did. Seemed to me that he certainly wouldn't have done it before the last election, since half of New Jersey, in the southern part of New Jersey, most of them are Philadelphia fans. Well, then he also was at the Dallas game, the Dallas-Detroit Lions game, which was the game to see whether or not Dallas would go into the playoffs. And if you watched that game, of course I did, because I was actually hoping for the Lions, and we'll talk about why, but in any event, if you saw that game, you would have seen there was a couple times where he was shown in Jerry Jones's box, had a red sweater on, and at the end of the game was seen jumping up and down and giving Jerry Jones bear hugs. Well, of course, there was a question about this, and although they're saying that it's a group with close ties to the Democratic Party who have filed an ethics complaint against Governor Christie, the implication being because he's Republican and they're Democrats, they're filing this ethics complaint. However, his trip to Dallas and to Texas to see that game certainly is questionable in light of the fact, and the issue is whether or not any criminal laws were broken. And the U.S. attorney is being asked to investigate whether Christie's trip, which a governor's office said was paid for by the Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, violated federal anti-corruption laws. And of course, at issue there is the fact that Jerry Jones does business in New Jersey. Apparently, the governor indicated that he accepted the trip because he's a friend, and politicians can accept gifts from friends, but there's a real issue here as to the propriety, even if the state of New Jersey did not pay for it. Now, of course, the state of New Jersey would have had to pay for the people who go with him, security, but that alone would not be something that would be an ethical violation, because if a governor is required to travel with security, that would not, you know, how can you then say he could never go out of state? But this is a real question. But my question to you now is, did you watch the Packer game?
I watched every minute of it.
Okay.
I enjoyed it tremendously. What a great game. Lots of fun.
And did you hear the audible calls?
I'm not sure that I recall hearing the audible call.
For the people out there, one of the audible calls was New York Bozo.
I remember hearing that and wondering what they could have possibly have meant.
Well, a lot of people, unfortunately, thought it might be a reference to Eli Manning or someone on the team, or even something to do with Rex Ryan of the Jets. But it wasn't. In fact, guess why they used that call?
I cannot imagine, Pat, but I'm sure you're going to tell us.
Well, I certainly am. Guess who was at the game sitting in Jerry Jones's box once again? Our governor, Chris Christie. And Aaron Rodgers really does have a sense of humor. If you've ever seen him, I mean, I know some of the ads are kind of funny, but if you've ever seen him, he has a very dry sense of humor. And it was interesting that they did not span the boxes once. I didn't see every second of the game, and at least I never saw showing the box with the governor in it. However, he was there, and he was with Jerry Jones once again, and I guess he didn't think that anybody would care this time if it was the Packers, not Philadelphia. But in any event, and we don't know if he paid his own way or if the same arrangements were made. However, the reference, New York Bozo, was a reference to Governor Christie.
No, I didn't connect that up one bit, but I know that the governor is a big Giants fan, but I also know that the governor is the governor of the entire state, so that leaves out the Jets, and it leaves out the Eagles fans, even though the Eagles are from another state. I think our governor has made a mistake, because he has just lost, if he runs for president or dog catcher, he has just lost the entire South Jersey vote, because he actually had the temerity to say that he hates the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I can't quite call that a hate crime. I don't think it is a hate crime. We know that Eagles fans, while they're a despised class, and I am proud of being one of them, I can tell you that, you know, people in South Jersey vote, and they're not all Democrats.
That's right. Well,
what about gangrene, the other gangrene, the New York Jets, or the New Jersey New York Jets, training camp is in Florham Park, not far from where the governor and his family live.
Let me ask you, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I do, because I don't want you to give Ken the answer. Ken.
Hi, everybody.
We're talking about our governor, and whatever you think about him, that was kind of our topic, and we're also talking about the Green Bay game last Sunday. Did you watch the game?
I didn't see all of it, but I actually... You know what's something crazy? I heard a lot of it on the radio because I was out, and then I saw the fourth quarter on TV, okay. Yes.
Did you hear the call, New York Bozo?
Yes, I did.
And if you ever listen to the calls, it's usually numbers. But
right.
Throughout that game, I can't tell you how many times the call was New York Bozo. Any idea who it was referring to?
No, actually I didn't. I am You've got me stumped. Okay. I'm completely in the dark. Could it be? It can't be Christy, can it?
It absolutely was.
No, come on.
In fact, people thought it's all
very
over,
funny.
It's all over Green Bay. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, they all have a good sense of humor. They'd obviously seen him down. I'm sure they saw him in Philadelphia in Jerry Jones's box. I'm sure they saw him. I mean, the world saw him in Texas in Jerry Jones's box and jumping up and down and giving a bear hug to Jerry Jones. But what I didn't see, and I watched every single second of the game, I did not see them span Jerry Jones's box in Green Bay. It absolutely, the reference to New York Bozo was a reference to our dear Governor Christie.
Well, the good news is they didn't call him New Jersey Bozo, right? And we blame him on New York.
Yeah, well,
that's pretty funny, though.
But
I didn't realize. You know, I heard that, and I suspected that was it.
Well, you know, the funny thing is some people thought it was a reference to Eli Manning or the Jets or the Giants or, you know, Rex Ryan.
That's
it wasn't. It was definitely the governor. Yeah. And once again, he was at the football game, and Bill and I were talking about the fact that the stupidity of him going to the Eagles game and sitting with Jerry Jones. But you know what? He wants to be run for president. And, you know, Jerry Jones, having Jerry Jones as your friend, and the South, a Texas state, is a southern state. You know, maybe he's hedging his bets that there are a lot more people who would vote for him in Texas, and that the money can come from people like Jerry Jones. I don't know. I mean, it seems to me that, you know, it really looked, you know, once again, it held our state up to ridicule. And unfortunately, that has happened so much. I've been here, you know, for longer than I lived in Wisconsin, even though I'm a Packer fan. But I can't tell you how often this happens. One time it was at Giant Stadium and the electricity went out. I can't tell you the number of calls I received that must have been because the mafia was involved in installing the electricity. So,
well, that's a fascinating thing. And remember, we are in a state that gave the world the Sopranos.
There you go. Can you imagine the practices? I mean, on the field, they're yelling New York Bozo the whole game. How do you think that started? I mean, their practice must have been, they must have been laughing all over the field, right? They had to be.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
Mean, they just didn't come up with New York Bozo the day of the game. They were doing that for the whole week.
You know,
cracking themselves up all over the place.
I think that as soon as they knew he was there, I mean, to have that as one of their calls. And the point is, he called it a lot. And what I don't recall is whether or not it was the same play every time. I don't think it was, but I'd have to go back and look and see when it was called, whether actually it was the same play the first half of the game or the second half of the game. I think they changed the play, but called it the same
maybe
thing.
Maybe it was a check
maybe,
off or something like that.
Maybe the New York Bozo call meant the play was about to be changed.
Yeah, something like that.
Because
could be.
You never know with football calls like that. You know, that you get to the, you know, you call the play in the huddle, then you let everybody know there's going to be an audible. What I want to know is what were the Dallas guys thinking when they heard New York Bozo? They had to be scratching the back of their helmets. And I said, this is some kind of crazy Green Bay Packers strategy cooked up under the influence of cheese. You know,
they must have had a good time.
You know, but
really,
it was
a party.
A great game. I watched the entire game. I will tell you, I was at the edge of my seat for most of it. It was the kind of game I loved. The outcome's in doubt until the last couple minutes, and the team I wanted to win won.
Yeah, well, I thought that the next day they were going to find two people dead at my house from heart attacks. I mean, that game was an excellent game, but it would have been more fun to watch it if you didn't care who won. I'm sorry. And I have to say, in many ways, I think Dallas played a better game that day because Aaron was definitely hurt. And so either team could have won. It went down, as you said, right to the wire.
I think Dallas actually outplayed Green Bay in the first half. And it looked like Aaron Rodgers had some real mobility problems.
He did.
He didn't take off with the ball until the third, late in the third quarter, where he picked up 6 yards. And it looked to me like he was really having problems with his left leg.
Well, and at first, I was really disappointed in seeing Adams play. But, boy, he really stepped up to the plate in that second half. And
what happened to Rodgers? Did he? They give him a shot or something at halftime?
I don't know.
He seemed much like better in the second half, right?
He must have, but I think he got stomped on not once but twice by Sue.
Yeah.
S-H-U.
But that wasn't his calf. That was his ankle.
His ankle.
So it really apparently is his calf that is creating the problems. And what they said this week is that he was going for acupuncture.
Hmm.
Now, whether that will help or not, this is going to be coming up is going to be a tough, tough game.
Well, and what did Seattle?
I mean, what did you think about the AFC, how that turned out?
I was surprised. I thought the AFC game, which I didn't get to see all of, but I was very surprised that the New England Patriots didn't dominate. It looks like there's going to be a real changing of the guard. I mean, you've got the Colts and the Pates. I think they don't need too much luck, pun intended. Uh-huh. I think they can play very well. I know that Gronkowski's got some health problems. I know also that Tom Brady looked extremely frustrated against the Ravens at times, and I'm not so sure that the Colts are going to be out of this game in the fourth quarter.
Oh, I don't think so either. And you know what's going to be interesting about these games? I think that these could be the best championship games. I mean, we have, the best four quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just, it's really should be. You know, nobody should walk away or easily dominate.
Unhappy, no.
And let's hope that Seattle doesn't. And the only problem there is how hurt Rodgers is when he goes into this game, because unless he can do his, A game, Seattle's going to walk all over them. They have such a great defense.
Hey, did you watch Seattle, Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a competitive game.
It was.
It really was. Carolina put on a good showing. Seattle, the only favorite to cover last week, by the way. Cowboys, weird things happen sometimes. The Cowboys covered because Green Bay went for 2 points instead of one
right.
in the fourth quarter,
right.
which I thought was a very odd decision. I thought that was very odd because the Cowboys kicked 2 field goals. They win the game.
Yeah, I didn't understand why they went for two.
Yeah, didn't make sense. Well, I know. Then I realized the spread was 5.5. That's why they did it. So they had to make sure certain people got their money back on that one.
No, I think they were trying.
I thought about that and I said, no, that can't be.
No, I think that is that what the spread was? I never
paid
attention.
Yeah, it was 5.5.
No, and I really think they wanted just to give Aaron Rodgers. They needed to get him off that field as soon as possible, and that was really why I thought they tried. Now, they're not successful. That how often has that happened? I mean, it doesn't happen often with the Packers. So. But I really thought it was they were trying to get some insurance there,
yeah,
because the chance of the chance of 2 field goals were, I guess they could have done it.
I don't know, 2 field goals and they lose. That was
yeah,
that's what I was
yeah.
thinking. Why would they put themselves in jeopardy of
losing
the 2 field goals
but that
instead of being only tied by 2 field
right.
goals? But you're right, the touchdown had them beat either way. But you know what? Even if that call had not been reversed, I'm convinced Rodgers would have marched Green Bay down the field and won the game. Absolutely convinced.
I think he would have.
Although Cowboys looked like they had no way of stopping
yeah.
him in the fourth
quarter.
I
think the interesting thing is I was glad that whoever that expert Pereira, what is his name, who comes on and right before when they're looking at the calls, and he comes on and he tells you what he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was not a catch.
Yeah,
well, he said it was not a catch.
To me, to the naked eye, to the untrained eye, looked clearly like a catch. And then they showed it in slow motion and
right.
described what the rule was, which I'm not really that familiar with. It was clearly
yeah.
not.
Yeah, I don't think anybody you know, was that familiar? Thank God McCarthy or somebody there was familiar enough with the rule that they called it. Because you're right. When he first called it, I thought, why would he risk losing a timeout and when it's so critical at this time of the game?
Right.
That was my first thought. And I said, he knows something I don't know. Yep. There must be a problem with the catch. Because it looked like a great circus catch. Yeah. They were down on the one. I said, oh, boy, you know, here we go. And I figured if Dallas scored, Green Bay was up by five, Rodgers would have to march them all the way down the field and then go for a touchdown. Go for the touchdown. But they were up by five, which meant if they would have been down by two if Dallas scored, and he would have to go for a touchdown, but they still had the option of getting a field goal. But, you know, depending upon where they are, but, you know, that, you know, sometimes people miss chip shots. I was convinced, though, that Rodgers is a kind of quarterback, hurt or not, who was going to take command in the last 2 minutes and produce 7 points for them.
Right.
Yeah. I just had that feeling in my bones.
Well, you know, he does a lot of calls, too. So when he first started calling that New York bozo, I was wondering if that he was changing the call. I mean, he wouldn't have called that, and it's usually numbers. You know, so that was the first thing that I'm thinking, okay, well, what is this that he's calling New York bozo? And after about the third time, I would like to go back, and somebody I know, they count everything. So somebody would go back, and they're going to tell us how many times he called that, made that call.
Crazy.
But it was certainly more than once or twice.
But think about it, though, Pat. If Green Bay had used the challenge earlier and lost that challenge,
that's right.
That would have been a catch. Yeah, that's what kind of intrigues me about the rule. It's a catch, but if nobody challenges it, you know what I mean? It's not a catch unless nobody challenges it. Then it's a catch. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, that's because they called it. They must have called it a catch on the field.
They called it a catch.
So they called it a catch on the field.
It's unless it's challenged.
Well, unless it's challenged, or if it had been a touchdown.
Right.
Then they would have reviewed it.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, that was what I was thinking at first. I was almost thinking, if he's on the run first, you know, on the 1 yard line, I'd rather have him make the touchdown because at least then it would be reviewed.
Yeah.
But, you know, it
worked out for the best for you.
It did.
But I'm convinced he would have driven him down the field and scored anyway.
Yeah, well, you would have had a heart attack if you were at my house,
yeah,
and
I'm sure.
Almost did.
I'm sure.
Well, I was glad that he ended up on the 1 yard line because he tries to stick the ball in the end zone and he can't quite do it. And he ends up on the one, and now I'm saying to myself, historic goal line stand by Green Bay to deny the Cowboys and to frustrate Jerry Jones. And our beloved governor.
Yeah, but that would have been tough. Four, you know, I mean,
four shots at the end zone with Tony Romo.
Four shots. You never know.
Weird stuff happens.
Luckily, we didn't have to think about that. And, of course, we could not watch that with our daughter, the diehard Cowboy fan, and her little son who, you know, I'm afraid to even see him. I mean, I know that he cried.
He probably felt worse than Dennis Bryant.
He really takes it very seriously. But at least this weekend we'll be able to watch the game with them because now everybody will be rooting for the Packers.
Well, that's a good thing. How do you think the Packers are going to be able to beat the Seahawks?
You know, I have to tell you, I'm not real optimistic about this game. I always root for the Packers. If I'm in a pool, I would always take the Packers. What's the point? Do we know what the points are?
I can take a look in a few minutes.
Probably five or six.
I mean,
I really think
that I have to tell you, I'm really concerned. I think that the Seahawks are as good as they were the first game that they played the Packers, and in some ways the Packers are a better team than they were. But you have that Aaron Rodgers, and if he can't get out of the box, if he can't take his A game, I don't know. I think the Seahawks can take it and actually go on and win the Rose Bowl, Super Bowl. Which, by the way, I'm going to be in Arizona, so if in fact the Packers go and somebody wants to be kind and donate tickets to two folks that would love to see it, you know, that's the other thing, of course. You know, the Super Bowl now is, I don't even know if it's a game for real sports fans. I think there are just too many people that
I think there's more business done at the Super Bowl than there is actually watching the game.
Yeah, I agree. And tickets, I'm hearing prices like $5,000 a ticket.
Wow.
Though that's not surprising. You know, it really is a corporate America event, unless you happen to be lucky enough to know someone or win the lottery or, you know, get a ticket somehow. I have not been to a Super Bowl, and it's one event I would love to go to. I've been to Stanley Cup Finals. I've been to the World Series, including a Game 7, all in Yankee Stadium. And I can tell you there's nothing more exciting.
Well, we've been to two Super Bowls. Could not go to Dallas the last time because it was just impossible. I mean, they were the cheapest motels were three-night minimum at, you know, $200 or $300 a night. It was impossible to get tickets. You could have gotten airfare down there. Could have gotten, you know, that would have been possible. But, you know, it's... And the two that we went to, if we had an hour to talk about how we got the tickets, I'd tell you. But it was very interesting, you know, how we got tickets for both of those games. And, you know.
I guess Green Bay, New England would be the matchup that would attract the most interest, right?
Well, and, you know, that's,
I would think so.
That was the first Super Bowl we went to. It was New Orleans, and it was Green Bay and the Patriots. And, in fact, I've talked to people before that... you know, we got on the plane in Newark. We had to fly to Houston because we couldn't get into New Orleans. And the plane had come from Boston.
Mm.
And the entire plane was full of Patriot fans that were doing the same thing that we were doing, which was going down to see the game.
Right.
It was
I would think that would be the marquee matchup. Seattle, yeah. Indianapolis just doesn't seem to have the same.
Well, I think you have to have at least one East Coast team in it. Or one Middle America team in it. I would be very interested in seeing Green Bay, Indianapolis, which is the least likely of the combinations from what everyone's telling me. But I think Andrew,
I think Andrew Luck is, you know, he's this new generation.
Yeah,
no
I think
question.
We might be seeing the changing of the guard.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Luck beat Manning last week, and if he beats Brady this week, I mean, I think that is the changing of the guard there. I think they're going to have their hands full with New England, though. Like, do you guys see the New England-Baltimore game? That was a great game.
It was a great game.
That was as good as the Green Bay-Dallas game was.
Yeah, I saw part of it.
I don't particularly like either team. I'm not a fan of either, but it was a fun game to watch.
Well, the
Ravens are a good team.
The Ravens were hitting. You know my theory. Whoever hits harder is going to win the game. Ravens were hitting harder than New England. And New England had those trick plays where the tackle eligible.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the third time, Baltimore shouldn't have been tricked, right?
Right, right.
Maybe by the second time they should have won. And the coach after the game was saying, well, we didn't have time to adjust. Well, here's how you adjust. You call timeout. You radio fans can't see me. I'm putting my hands in the tee. That's how you adjust, coach.
Of course.
So he has really nobody to blame for himself. And leave it to Bill Belichick to come up with some crazy formation that nobody's ever used before. And what did the Baltimore coach say? Something about it's almost an illegal play or something like that. And what was Tom Brady's answer? Read the rule book.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, you read the rule book and you have coaches that know the rule book, like the Packers coach, I think makes it a fascinating game because you see all these twists and turns. To me, the most dramatic game was Green Bay-Dallas. There was some real drama in that. The real thing to me that was exciting was the emergence of Adams as a great receiver.
Yeah, he really did come through.
I noticed Jordy Nelson did not have his usual good game, but he was double-teamed.
Well, take a look. You know, that's been what's happening, that they're double-teaming him. But I was really glad. I mean, Cobb. I mean, I love Cobb. He had a great game. Adams, you know, after slow start, he did. You know, whatever. What I'm sad about is this could be my last football game that I really care about this year, and the season goes too quickly, and we'll come back after a short break for some of notes from our sponsors, and maybe we'll even talk about, give you a short break for the news. I don't think so. We'll just give you a sports, give you some of the...
We don't care about the news.
Nah, there's nothing good on the news other than our governor and the ethics complaints against him. So I did a lot of that in the prior hour. So let's just tell you who's foolish enough to sponsor us.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. They're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Okay, we're back. We've played the spots, and of course you've heard Chris Phelan say that you know, our views are not the views of the chamber, and of course we certainly know that, and especially when we razz the governor. You know, it's just that if anyone has lived outside of New Jersey and heard all the New Jersey jokes, or even if you've lived here for your whole life, the last thing that we want, we're proud of our state. We have a great, you know, there's so much here. So we don't like to be held up to ridicule, and unfortunately, whether he admits it or not, you know, Christie's really been held up to ridicule. And the New York bozo thing is, you know, he's the laughing stock around Wisconsin.
That's hilarious, though. I think that's really funny. I just can't. I'm trying to conceive of what was going through their minds when they said, hey, we got to come up with a new call. Let's just call it New York Bozo, and everyone just went about their business. Yep. There's no way that – it must have been a comedy act when
well,
they were
coming up
with
been,
that.
Well, it must have been – you know, you thought maybe they did it all week in practice, but they wouldn't have known that Christie would have come to Wisconsin. In fact, anybody that heard the flap about him going to Dallas would have thought he wouldn't go to Wisconsin.
Even if he wasn't there, he's still fun to mock.
Maybe he wasn't there. I mean, we're just assuming he was
right,
there.
Right, right, right. He's fun to mock. He's a target right now, you know?
Well, just remember, we're exercising our right to free speech and public comment. And that's not always easy to do. Look at France over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Everybody's heard of this magazine that I can't pronounce correctly, Charlie Hebdo, which, you know, certainly sounds like it's a little to the extreme of my favorite as a child, Mad Magazine.
That's fun.
You know, nobody ever tried to shoot Bill Gaines of Mad Magazine, but unfortunately, in other countries, we don't protect speech the way we do. And I'm proud to be a New Jerseyan, and I'm very proud that I'm an American.
Yeah, unless you've lived in another country, I don't even know if you can appreciate, you know, the fact that we can make public comment in the way we can, and we can criticize. Now, do I think personally there are things that are over the top and truly in bad taste? Yes, I do. And I think when it comes to religion, that becomes a real problem. And I think it's becoming a problem here because of, you know what's happening to Muslims just because they're Muslims. But on the other hand, you know, that's so extreme to, you know, go and shoot and kill people because, you know, they write cartoons that you don't like. But anyway, back to
their readership went from 60,000 in their last issue to 5 million this week.
Yeah. So in fact,
the people who perpetrated it,
we never would have known about it.
Yeah. Never would have.
Never
known
in a million about years, and now everybody knows about it.
But I'm looking, and anybody who sees one, I'm looking for all the cartoons that are going to come out, the sports cartoons, with Governor Christie's involvement in the major leagues. And I honestly think the NFL. I think this is going to haunt him on the campaign trail.
That'll be brought up. Someone's going to bring that up at some point.
Sure, I think so too. I mean, you have politics in this country that has become a game of gotcha and a blood sport, and it's driven some very talented people out of politics, or who would not want to be in politics for a million years. I mean, I'm not advocating George Clooney run for office, but when he was asked if he was going to run for office, he said he had too many girlfriends and he had probably indulged in too many illegal substances.
Wow.
And he didn't want that looked at. And I mean, I don't know anything about George Clooney except he's an actor and he married a woman who's a lawyer and supposedly very accomplished, but politics has sort of driven a lot of, and the nastiness of it and the silliness of the nastiness has kind of driven a lot of otherwise good people out. And, you know, there's a difference between having an affair or doing something stupid when you're young or you're not so young and, you know, what kind of leadership you're going to be. And, you know, right now I think we have a problem in this country with that. It's just getting to be too nasty. With the internet, everybody supposedly knows everything about everybody else anyway, and then who cares?
You know, it's funny, you mentioned Netanyahu before, that he was elbowing people out of the way. I didn't see that. Did he elbow Obama? Did he elbow John Kerry?
Obama wasn't there.
Obama wasn't there. John
this
Kerry
was in France, but
Netanyahu was there
from the United States.
Well, Netanyahu was there. I don't think Kerry was there. Obama didn't show, and they apologized for that.
What about Joe Biden? He probably elbowed Joe Biden.
I don't know.
I think somebody went.
Biden didn't go.
No, but there were leaders from literally. I mean, it was
not
a
from this
real
country.
Solitaire.
The only leader, the only person there was our diplomat who's a, who lives in Paris.
Our French ambassador. Was
the ambassador. Was
well,
there.
I wonder if they knew how many world leaders were going to show up and the solidarity, because frankly, I think we missed the mark by not having someone, maybe not the president, but someone like Biden or, you know, the Secretary of State, someone, you know, to represent the United States.
Jimmy Carter, George Bush.
Yeah.
There's
exactly.
There's a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Are people they could have sent.
Yeah. There's a lot of people they could have sent without sending the president. We should have sent somebody there.
I
could have
agree.
Been elbowing too.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Well, Netanyahu. I mean, it would have been an opportunity for some of these political leaders to have some informal talks also.
I'm surprised Hillary Clinton wasn't there, honestly. I know she's not in office anymore, but she could have represented our country. We should have done a better job.
Yeah, but
somebody,
for her to do that, it would have been, I think, inappropriate unless the president asked her.
Then bring, you know, bring her husband.
Or yeah, Bill Clinton as a former president.
Why not him?
What would have been nice, honestly, I think, you know, off the top of my head, is if we had Bill Clinton and George Bush.
Maybe they didn't want to go.
Maybe they were not even
Maybe
asked.
Maybe they were afraid.
They wanted to come. No, I don't think so. Remember, France is a funny place. I've never been to France, but I know a number of French people. They take their public freedoms very seriously. Particularly free speech, and particularly the right of assembly. It's very, very, very important things to them. And, you know, the idea that they have a large Islamic population, they tolerate because, you know, these were French people who came, say, from Algeria or Tunisia, which were French for about 100 years.
Right.
Right.
Just as much a part of France as Toulon or Marseille. And France has always communicated back and forth over the Mediterranean to the North African shore. And there's always been a lot of French influence there. And it's not unusual. But... and the French regard these people, well, maybe they're a little different, but, you know, they speak French, so they're as French as you or I. But when these militants, whatever you want to call them, jihadis, nuts with guns, I don't care, began shooting up a satirical magazine, that was huge. That has galvanized France in a way that perhaps is similar to 9/11.
Well, and it should, and I think it's probably especially difficult, and we're getting off the topic of sports, but it's especially difficult for us to understand it when, you know, every Saturday night was Saturday Night Live. I mean, you know, they go after politicians. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the Jay Leno jokes, the you know... you know, going all the way back to some of our late night people, you know, that they've always taken after politicians. So it's something that we expect here. But going back to, you know, sports.
Oh, yeah, it's a sports
and
show.
Politics.
Hey, Pat, are you going to get an Eddie Lacy cheese head with chedlocks? Instead of dreadlocks?
Oh, they have... That's something I haven't seen.
Well, here it is on the front of the sports page in the Newark Star-Ledger. You could have chedlocks.
Oh, for... Yes, actually. I'm trying to remember. I don't think I saw that at the Packer store when I was there. I don't remember. Maybe I just happened to miss it.
I think this is something new. I didn't realize that Eddie Lacy was the guy with the dreadlocks because they hit his number.
Well, but his dreads are so long that it does
hold.
Down
to his waist. You
yeah, but
see
it
his
holds
number.
It also, yeah, you can't see. In fact, it was interesting because
I thought it was Eddie Lacy because they kept handing him the ball.
Well, no, it is Eddie Lacy, and it took me a while to know if his name was spelled Lacy or Lacey. Dave and I were having that big discussion because you can't see it on the back, and I said I'm sure it's Lacy, and he, you know, and in any event, it is Lacy. But you're right. He has dreads down his back.
Well, I'd like to
but
see
the
a cheese
dreads.
Head with dreads.
I have a feeling that what this is they just have the dreads and then they put their cheese head over it. Mm-hmm. But I don't recall that. Cheese Lock's hat. Okay.
Well, I got a real kick out of that.
Hmm. Okay, so we're talking politics, we're talking fashion. who's gonna win the games this weekend?
I can tell you, looking at this paper, and I know on the radio you can't see it, but the paper that Bill handed me, Ken, I don't think you'd call this fashion.
It's in the eye of the beholder. Probably not my style.
Well, they also had someone that was at every Packer game for years that dressed like St. Patrick.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's cool.
And, I mean, there's some real characters, that are there all the time. And there's certainly some people that tailgate all the time. And one that's always been rather interesting, at least to the young teenage boys, is the one where women give certain parts of their, talking about style, they give certain parts of their clothing, and they're displayed, hundreds of them, on this one stand. Now, Bill is laughing. Did you see that when you were at Green Bay?
Yeah. It's amazing how large undergarments can be made, particularly in the land of the good eaters. One thing we didn't talk about, all the big changes here in area sports. So let me ask you a question. Pat, what do you and I have in common with Todd Bowles, new coach of the Giants?
Wow, that's interesting. Is he an attorney?
No.
But what else do we have in common?
Well, he played for Green Bay.
Really?
He played for Temple University.
Bowles?
Yeah. What?
When did he play for Green Bay?
He was an assistant defensive coach at Green Bay.
You know, I think I remember that he was an assistant defensive coach, but I don't remember him playing.
I think he played at Green Bay, but he did play at Temple University.
Hmm.
He's also from Elizabeth, and he is considered to be a defensive specialist, particularly with a defensive backfield. I think he was a safety at Green Bay because he certainly was a safety at Temple.
When did he play for the Packers?
I think in the early 80s.
You got me. I didn't realize he was a former player. I mean, I guess everybody in coaching now is former something, but
yeah.
I didn't remember the name at all. But he's got a good track record.
I think so.
He's done a good job.
So
I think
how do you think the Giants will do with him and Spagnuolo returning as defensive coordinator?
I love it.
You think you like it?
Yeah. Back to the future. We got Coughlin and Spagnuolo back together.
Well, remember, that's right. And remember, I made a mistake. Bowles is going to be coaching the Jets. Forgive me. I said
right.
Giants.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we knew what you meant.
I was sitting there thinking, you're right.
We knew my mistake.
Yeah. You know what? Spagnuolo has a track record of success. Why not bring him back? And Coughlin must be comfortable with him. I mean, that's the important thing, right? You need to have your coaches
on the same
page.
But Spagnuolo is coming back as what? The
defensive coordinator.
Okay. Well, what do you think about where Rex Ryan landed?
In Buffalo?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I thought he would end up in Atlanta, to be honest, but I'm not surprised. The Bills needed a coaching change. They also need a little more what I'm going to call PR, and Rex certainly is an exciting character of a guy, and he will probably help them win a few more games just by the force of his personality, and hopefully they'll pick some good players to help him do it. I wish him well.
See, I was surprised. Based on his track record with the Jets, he earned a 5-year, $27.5 million contract, 4-12, and he gets $27.5 million. If he'd gone 6-10, would he have gotten $37.5 million? I know what you're saying. Yeah. Rex Ryan, he's larger than life, and he brings a lot of, bluster and pizzazz to the press conferences, yada, yada, yada. But his track record of winning was not there.
Because he had two good seasons with the Jets, and then the Jets pretty much changed GMs on him, and they tanked.
Well, I was surprised about the 5-year contract. I mean, you hear these millions of dollars anymore, and it's just unbelievable. But for 5 years now, maybe I don't know what Atlanta offered him. It would be interesting to see why he went to Buffalo. and rather than to Atlanta, because you're right, I thought he'd end up in Atlanta also.
Yeah. I guess he's familiar with the AFC East. I don't know. Maybe they've offered the most money. That's probably has more to do with it than anything, but it's just going to be odd to see him on the other sideline in the Meadowlands, you know, at least once a year.
Well, and what do you think about the Buffalo quarterback? Do you think he's going to really develop? I mean, I really don't follow that team, so I don't know much about
Very
it.
Very few do follow Buffalo.
Unless you're in Buffalo.
But, yeah, their quarterback situation is not a whole lot better than the Jets. They don't have somebody established that they can count on to help them win games. They're depending on defense and a running game. Doesn't that sound like the Jets?
Yeah.
That does sound like the Jets.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, up until you saw, you know, Wilson come in and Andrew Luck come in and even RG3, I would have been someone that would have always said, these young kids need to sit on the bench and watch a good quarterback for a few years the way Aaron Rodgers did. But, you know, Luck and Wilson, really pretty phenomenal. Yeah, right,
you know,
off the bat.
You know what I think it is, Pat? The college game has changed so it mimics the pro game. So I think the quarterbacks are more prepared to come out and play the pro game than they were even 10, 20 years ago.
Oh, that's an interesting comment.
You know, because you look at a college team, they run pro sets now. They run the same the same plays. So I think they're more prepared. And don't forget, too, there's a money aspect to this. It's professional football. It's all about money. If you're going to invest that much money in a quarterback, millions of dollars, I don't even know what these guys make, you can't have him sit on the bench. You can't have a couple million dollars worth of investment sitting on a bench for a couple of years like you could 20, 30 years ago when they weren't making as much money. As an owner, you're telling your general manager, you pick a guy who's ready to go year one. I'm going to spend X amount of millions of dollars on him. I need my return on my investment. So I think that has a lot to do with it, too. And the college ranks, look what they just gave the coach at Michigan, $50 million?
Yeah, Harbaugh.
Harbaugh. $47.5 million,
I think.
It's big business. So they're turning their players and preparing them to be pros as soon as they get into college. So I think that players are that much more prepared when they get to the NFL.
Well, I still think that Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback today because he was able to sit there and watch Brett Favre for a while.
I agree.
I'm not sure that Brett was as good a mentor as he should have been. But
I agree with that, too. But not every team has a Brett Favre to look at either. Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Sit in the end zone sometime and keep your eyes on the quarterback and what's developing around him. And you realize just how difficult it is for these guys to really play at a high level every play because they literally have to pay attention to like 10, 12 people trying to figure out where to deliver the ball.
Well, I guess we've never had a severely nearsighted quarterback that I know of who's successful. No, seriously, I mean, that's when you look at somebody like Rodgers, who kind of surveys the whole field and rarely has a defensive guy watching his eyes so he can intercept. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, they not only do they have to be watching everybody downfield, but they have to be sure that some defensive player is not watching them and figuring out where they're going to throw the ball and be able to intercept it. So, I mean, it's a different game. What I've liked about the Packers is how they're moving people around. I think that, you know, moving Clay Matthews in and out of different positions has been helpful.
Well, you know, I think what helps the Packers to do that is that Julius Peppers has had a good
season.
Oh,
he's been tremendous.
He won the game for him last
week. Yeah, he did. And
you've been talking about him all year. Since July, you've been talking about him, Pat.
And
he wins a playoff game.
And I have really thought that was a great acquisition. And if you know Ted Thompson and the Packers, they don't do it often. You know, there are a lot of people out there signing free agents all the time. That's not the way the Packers usually develop their team. They usually, keep them and pull them in when they're young players, when they've drafted them, and even maybe not drafted them. But that, I thought, was a brilliant acquisition. And I was afraid that Ted Thompson, they wouldn't do it because they don't usually make those kinds of moves. But he, you know, everything is not now on Clay Matthews. In other words, the other right. team does not have to just worry about Clay Matthews, because Pepper's, he's on his downward years in playing, but actually I think he played much, much better this year than he did couple years for Chicago.
Each of these guys makes the other better and more right. of a threat. And I think the fact that they're playing together now puts years on their careers. They're each going to take less of a pounding because the defense has to double team one of them or the other. And they're both big, strong guys. And I especially like the way Peppers manages to make some of these spin moves and get in between defenders in the pocket. You know, the offensive lineman in the pocket. I think he's a great athlete. By the way, we're about out of time, but should we be having a moment of silence for the Izod Center, Brendan Byrne Arena, Continental Airlines Arena? It's going to go dark.
I can't believe
all
that.
Our money that we spent as taxpayers, we're going to have an empty arena.
What's happening?
They're closing it
down.
They are.
They're closing it down.
You know
New Jersey, folks.
You know what's crazy? They have an article in today's Star Ledger, front page of sports section. They have a half a dozen pictures of the most important monumental events ever at the arena. And I can't believe it, but I attended two of these. I'm shocked. Because
wow,
right. I wasn't a fan of the Devils and that's
right.
I was at the game where Christian Laettner hit the jumper to beat UConn. My good buddy, somehow, don't even ask because I don't know, he got press passes. So I was 2 feet away from Christian Laettner when he was being interviewed after the game. And, of course, I was at the game that Mark Messier guaranteed the Rangers would beat the Devils. I was actually in the Nabisco suite, and there was 24 people in the suite. There was 3 Ranger fans, and the rest were Devils fans. I'll never forget it because the Rangers were losing most of the game. They were behind 2-0, and we were getting it from these Devils fans unbelievably because the Rangers lost and they would have been eliminated. The Rangers came back, scored 4 goals in a row. Messier got the hat trick, yada, yada, yada. They went 4-2, and we were beside ourselves. The 3 of us, we were like little kids jumping up and down. And the guy the guy that was giving it to us more than anybody else the whole night, he was really trying to get under our skin. He came over, he said, you know what, I'm glad the Rangers won because you 3 guys are happier than the rest of the 20,000 people in this area. But, yeah, it's weird to think it's going to be closed. But it's not. They're not knocking it down, right?
I think they'll find a use for it. You know, might even be a minor league ice hockey team or something like that.
I don't know. I'm not sure what their plan is.
Wow. And what did that cost?
I thought it cost $50-60 million to build that thing, and the bonds haven't been paid off. Am I right?
I think, yeah. I don't know exactly the number, but you're definitely on the right track. But it's kind of been a white elephant. For a few years, since they built the arena in Newark, more and more things are going there. And then
right.
they built the arena in Brooklyn, more and more things are going there. The Izod Center is kind of left out of the cold, but that means we don't get the Ringling Brothers, right? Because I don't think they fit in Newark. They don't fit at the arena there.
Can't get an elephant in there?
You can't. No, you can't get in. You can't get one in Madison Square Garden anymore either, since they remodeled it. So I don't know. The kids will have to go to Brooklyn to see the Ringling Brothers. I don't know. Kids everywhere are upset right now.
I like the circus.
Yeah, who doesn't like the circus?
Who doesn't like the circus?
Did I ever tell you I was honorary ringmaster at the circus one time?
I'm impressed. Which circus was this?
Ringling Brothers at the time it was Brendan Byrne Arena.
Cool. How did you get to be an honorary ringmaster?
Short story. I was working for Nabisco at the time. And we were sponsoring an event there, and right before, literally 5 minutes before the curtain was going to go up, they said, hey, we need somebody to be ringmaster, and I happened to be standing next to the guy that said that, and he grabbed me, and next thing I know, I'm introducing the circus in front of 20,000 people on the floor of the at the Brendan Byrne Arena.
Your claim to fame, story. Your 15
yes,
minutes
my claim
of fame.
To fame, exactly.
What a great story.
Exactly. And somewhere, I have to find it, I have an official Ringling Brothers